Hello, and welcome to Dragon's Trove, where all we talk about is Dungeons & Dragons. My name's Tristan, and as always, I'm joined by Troy.
Hello.
And my brother Jace.
Hi.
Tonight's episode, we're going to be comparing wizards and sorcerers, looking at their differences and their similarities. Enjoy. Okay, guys, we are at episode 7. This is it, number 7. It's kind of a...
Save on.
Lesbian.
Oh my gosh. Yep. Now we're banned.
I had to get Cajun man in there.
Cajun. Kicked out.
Cajun.
Okay.
Dijon.
Before we go any further, though, we would just like to say that Epic Adventure Candle Company is one of the best companies that you could ever purchase any product from, except they only sell scented wax and or candles, mainly candles. These candles are manufactured by a very special woman. Her name is Tara. She makes these candles with these scents that are specifically tailored to gaming because she is a huge D&D nerd just like us. You should totally go check out the website at epicadventurecandles.com. You can subscribe to the newsletter that she has there for a 10% off coupon right off the top. And then there is a link on the website that will redirect you to her Etsy store. I've been buying these candles for like probably a year now, and I have loved every single scent that I have purchased. My favorite is Barlaman's Ale. It's great. It has that alcohol kind of smell to it, but it also has some like fruity tones. So just go check her out. It's Epic Adventure Candle Company, and there's anything that you could imagine. I guarantee she probably has it. And if she doesn't have it, go ahead, send her a message, and she will try her best to make it. She's very, very awesome. The whole entire company is awesome.
Yeah, it is. And even, you know, it's geared toward RPG games and stuff like that, like you were saying, but even those Game of Thrones fans out there, like just like me,
yep.
She has scents like that. Like, I can't wait for Reigns of Castamere to come back, and I'm going to buy me 15 of them.
I actually have that candle, and it smells wonderful.
Yeah, I can't wait. Definitely going to be giving that to my wife. She'll be really excited.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yes,
yeah, they got one. There's one called the Sorting Hat that smells like the inside of a ball cap. It's pretty good.
I wouldn't go that far. I've not actually smelled that one, but I don't think that's it. She's got Harry Potter. She's got Star Wars. She has fantasy, which includes Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, and just some generic D&D smells. Cleric. I think there's one called Healing Hearth. Yeah, I have one called Healing Hearth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it smells wonderful.
Yeah, she's got bard, wizard, sorcerer. I mean, she's got all kinds.
It's great.
Yeah, Arcane Grove is my go-to all the time when I'm playing a campaign candle.
Arcane Grove is very good too. So is Pipeleaf. Yep. Dwarven Ooh, Forge yep. is great. Lonely Mountain is awesome. I think she has one.
You know what? They're all great.
They are all great. She has one that's like Cavern. I forget what it's called. Forgive me. Tara, I forget what that one's called, but it's something to do with caverns. It smells just like you would think a cave would smell.
So yeah, wet.
Yeah, great.
So go buy those candles.
Go buy them. EpicAdventureCandles.com. Okay. And now, let's... before we get into the compare-contrast about the wizards and the sorcerers, we recently read a very interesting article a couple days ago, and I think it's worth talking about. Jace,
yeah.
Go ahead and summarize the article.
Okay, so basically, I don't have the article pulled up, so I'm doing this entirely from memory. Basically, it was an article that talked about how Gary Gygax probably would not like the current iteration of D&D. What he kind of saw is his original idea of it. It's veered off from that to a point where he doesn't recognize it. And I think it was second edition advanced D&D that he was like, yeah, this is just completely different than what I had in mind, and kind of steered clear of it. First thing I want to say about this article is that I think I would hate to be sitting at a table played by Gary Gygax as a player with him DMing. I just I don't think that he and I could work out very well in our philosophies. The biggest points are in how Gary Gygax did his style of games. He did this wonderful kind of ecosystem where everything interacted naturally. Like, you know, the goblins here had stuff to do with the orcs here. You know, like the orcs made the goblins do all of this because they were bigger than them. You know, so it was like a cool interaction, and that's a great thing to take away from the Gygaxian type of demographics. But also, he did very, very weak kind of characters, very loose-based rules, you know, where it might be different every time. You know, it could be a gray area. I don't know if you guys have ever read any of the, what are they called? The Black Cauldron book is one of them. It's called Something of Prydan, that series of books.
I'm not familiar.
I can't remember the name of the series. But anyway, so all the characters in there basically suck, and they only succeed by working together and to overcome a task. And those are the kinds of stories that Gary liked, whereas nowadays characters have a whole lot of options. And, you know, even things like in 5th edition where once your character gets above level 4, you're pretty well indestructible. What do you guys think?
Well, before we go any further on that, I have actually pulled up the article here. It is on dmdavid.com. The title of it is "The Game Design Trends That Turned D&D Into a Game Gary Gygax Disliked." So, I mean, right there off the bat, I'm no journalist, but before you even read the article, it's already thrown a bias in there just from the title. I mean, it kind of sets you into looking at it in a negative light before you ever even read. And what do I think about it? I didn't know Gary, obviously.
I knew Gary.
Yeah, you knew Gary. We used to hang out. Well. So I can't really speak towards his DMing style. I know what this article is telling me, but I've not even gone so far as to look up things that some of his players may have said about him or his DM style. So the only information that I'm really taking is completely one-sided because it's from this article. I think that having a character kind of thrown together just to play may be how he had it envisioned the whole entire time. You know, that's what I'm gathering from this article, is that character creation was just another aspect of the game. It wasn't it wasn't like a main focus or anything. And it's, I'm not faulting Wizards of the Coast for this, but according to another source, the Player's Handbook that I have, I actually have an AD&D edition of the Player's Handbook. You read through that, there's just not as much flavor text. And I've read a couple of articles from some old grognards who primarily played, you know, AD&D and even second edition AD&D, that that's not what it was about. It was about the adventure itself. It was about whatever it was that you were finding. There just wasn't that like persona that Wizards of the Coast kind of threw in there with the beginnings of third edition. I don't know. It sounds to me though like TSR was already moving that way.
Yeah.
Even before Wizards,
coming from the article's perspective and everything, and the way they're painting Gary and how he thought about what he thought about the game, it was story focused. It really wasn't like one character or your certain character. It wasn't supposed to be circled around you. It was supposed to be circled around the story, and Jace kind of alluded to it. It was, you know, if you didn't work together as a team, you weren't going to make it. And the article kind of goes on further and talks about how it really fell off of that trend, especially, I think that it was pointing out, like, 3.5 was its peak of, you know, they were making characters to where it was, you know, almost like showing off in front of your friends, like, who can make the best character. It wasn't like, okay, like, what's going to do best for the story? It was just, like, kind of, who's got the most powerful character to play? And it kind of took away... Yeah, Jace always did. But it kind of took away, in my opinion, and what I could imagine, is it definitely kind of took away from the teamwork aspect of it, because I think that's what, you know, D&D was definitely made for, was to get your friends around a table and work together to defeat this boss, not to, okay, let's see who can do the most damage to the boss, or who can one-shot this boss. It's kind of, you know, like that teamwork effort, cohesion is the word I was looking for, that cohesion of the group, and that's what makes that story fun.
Well, I can't really speak about other editions because I've only played 3.5 and 5th edition. I really dove into 5th edition, so...
Yeah.
I do get the feel, though, that... I mean, when it comes to party makeup, I get the feel from just reading the player's handbook that it definitely lends itself to trying to force characters together. Not force them, but it gives you more options that steer your creativity that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the article does allude to 5th edition trying to pick up on some of those old-timey 1st edition and 2nd edition tones, but without playing them, I mean, I can't really say yay or nay on that. I just know what others have told me who have played. I think maybe that's the reason that 5th edition is so popular, because it kind of mixes the best of both worlds, because it definitely does have that making your own character, making them unique, you know, because, I mean, if you look at all the backgrounds even,
mm-hmm.
I mean, like the Sage background, I'm pretty sure says that you have some sort of, you've uncovered some sort of hidden fount of knowledge or something to that effect. And, you know, you could be like a level one character with that. So yep. I do see both sides of it there. Would Gary like 5th edition? Like I said, I can't really answer. This article says probably not. But I can't really...
Yeah, I think, I mean, what the article was saying, though, too, is that he might not like it. I mean, the article does allude to the fact that, you know, his baby was in the beginning. So, obviously, he's not going to like anything as much as what he created himself. But it might be getting back to the roots as close as it's been, you know, since the beginning. And like you said, I think it's done a really good job of meshing both worlds, because, you know, we talked about it in some of our earliest podcast episodes, but, you know, playing 3.5, and that's what we were getting started at, and Jace was always telling us about, because he's been playing for so much longer than us, about the different tiered classes. You know, if you weren't playing a certain class, then eventually, and it seemed like it pretty quick, you were just going to get demolished by... the other characters and just kind of get left in the shadows. The other players, I should say, because they were just... If they were playing those top-tier classes, they were going to get all the glory for all the battles. Like, you could get a couple shots in there, but that was about it.
Well, I will say one thing about 5th edition that I like that I didn't necessarily like about 3.5 is I'm glad that there is no prestige class
mm-hmm.
of any type. I think that... And that's something cool maybe to work towards in an MMO, but as far as Dungeons and Dragons goes, I'm just glad that that's not there, because that's not a constant goal of yours to get there. Those prestige classes, a lot of them were just so powerful
mm-hmm.
that you could just run through an encounter.
Yeah.
You could just run through enemies.
What prestige classes are you talking about?
Any of the higher tiered prestige class. You have the Fist of Zoken for the monk is the one that I'm thinking of, just because that was one that I actually went for. It was just the amount of abilities that was available to you as a Fist of Zoken versus just a regular monk is just there's a lot there. Those prestige classes, they add cool flavor and things, but I think that they just get so bogged down with here's an ability. And the article does bring out that it was almost like you're creating a superhero.
Yeah, like a comic book character.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's why I don't like the prestige classes as much, is because it's almost like that's where you were as soon as you got that prestige class.
See, I kind of always viewed... So my basis for how strong a class is all based on, like, how does it compare to a wizard in 3.5? And most of the time, prestige classes weren't even worth picking up, because if you lost levels in being a spellcaster in the either arcane or divine magics, then more often than not, it wasn't worth your time, because you just lost so much power So there, I can definitely see both points of view with that. I in my opinion, I think prestige classes were useless in the game, and that a lot of there's like five base classes that were godlike, and the rest were like meh. Like there was a very big power imbalance because they did try to, like Tristan said, throw so much bloat in with you know, this can do that, that can do that, and a lot of people got left by the wayside. Even though they're doing different kind of bloat, it's not as powerful of bloat.
Yeah, and I think that right there speaks to the mindset of the like the different types of you know, where Gary said that where he wanted to start was story focused, and then where it ended up being in 3.5 where it was all power focused. So what can I do to make the, it wasn't like what character can I make to make the story the coolest, it was what character I can make to be the most powerful, and that would be the coolest. You know, it's a completely different mindset there.
Different strokes for different folks, I suppose.
Yeah, and that's, 3.5 definitely has its place. You know, just because Gary wouldn't have liked it doesn't mean it wasn't popular. It obviously was, you know. Same thing with Pathfinder, and then now, like Tristan said, 5e, it's super popular right now, so.
Yeah, and you'll always have guys who are wanting to play a particular edition. You'll always have that.
Yeah.
But there's just a reason that D&D is at its highest popularity that it's been in the last 30 years. When Joe Manganiello can get up and be on Stephen Colbert's show, and the only thing that they talk about that whole entire interview is Dungeons & Dragons, I think that just kind of shows you how popular it really is.
Yep. And I mean, we talked about it not too long ago, but, you know, Critical Role has definitely a big part of that. You know, breaking the, you know, what everybody thought D&D was, and bringing it to the mainstream a little bit more than what it already was becoming in. And you got like D&D Diesel, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's...
I forgot all about D&D.
It's crazy. Oh, man, I got to that episode on Critical Role.
I'm in your face.
And I had to stop the episode because, you know, they did it halfway through and they gave a little sneak peek. So I had to stop that episode when I was watching on YouTube and go watch D&D Diesel again because I forgot how awesome it was.
Yeah.
That's how I want to spend my night, is watching D&D Diesel.
Well, and it's then they awesome, did the one dude. With, what's his name? Is it Terry Crews?
Yep.
Yeah.
They just did one with him, and it's a World of Warcraft based D&D session.
Oh my gosh.
It's like three hours long. Or maybe 2.5. I don't know.
Anyway. So let's get into the meat and potatoes.
Yeah. So
of what we were going to talk about.
Yeah, we're going to do this for our listeners. We're going to do a for the next couple of episodes that we do. We're going to have little bits that we're going to call character comparisons, and we're going to look at the different classes that a character could choose from. We're going to pick two, and we're going to go. You know, just kind of, we're going to pick two that are similar, but have their place and differences. And then we can get outlandish later on. But we want to cover all of the classes, at least in the player's handbook and the subclasses for there, before we go into any other compendiums or add-ons first. So anyway, you guys just sit tight, enjoy the music, and you'll hear it from us in just a few minutes. And welcome to Character Comparisons, where we're going to take a look at each... Did you say back?
I said we're back.
We're going to take a look at each class in the Player's Handbook, and we're just going to dissect everything that has to do with... we're going to take, like, for instance, the Wizard and the Sorcerer. There's obviously similarities there. There's obviously some big differences. We're going to look at the subclasses and pretty well just talk about our favorites and things that we absolutely do not like. So anyway, I'm a wizard player. Jace
is a wizard player.
And Troy?
Sorcerer player.
So there you go.
Leak sauce.
Whatever.
Okay, so
you're the freaking Diet Coke of arcane spellcasters.
That's okay, right. So there's Diet already Coke hate. I mean, right off the top.
Always.
Well, what can you expect?
I want the flavor, but not the same calories.
Wow.
Hey, man.
Anyway, so there are a couple of obvious differences right off the bat. So Jace kind of already hit it. A lot of people feel like the wizard is the supreme spellcaster. I would have to agree.
I'm not going to argue that.
I would have to agree.
I mean, he's a wizard, dude.
Right.
What? Yeah, and I think a lot of it has to do with just the differences in where their magical power comes. So, yep. You know, the wizards kind of study the arcane. You know, they go into it. They're kind of nothing without their spell books, and they just spend years and years learning about everything. And that's one of the reasons. That's the reason why their spellcasting modifier is intelligence. Whereas for a sorcerer, it's more of a kind of a force of their will or for their personality, where it's more like more of an art form for them than it is, you know, more than like math. So it's like the difference between math and art between a wizard and a sorcerer.
That's a good way to put it.
And that's the reason why sorcerers are based on charisma casting, is because they are that's like charisma is just the force of your personality, how strong it is. You know, it also can have to do with emotion and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just reading here over the wizard, the flavor text, and I've read through the sorcerer a little bit just a few minutes ago, and there's it is the main difference between the two is your thirst for knowledge and a greatness kind of thrust upon you. Now, that being said, that doesn't mean that a sorcerer couldn't, you know, be trying to harness and search for more. It's just that the wizard has a obvious knack for it that I think the sorcerer may not have, if that makes sense. Where the sorcerer innate ability, the wizard could sometimes have like, you know, whatever they went on striving for this. Maybe it was a quest to seek for knowledge, or maybe it was in itself kind of thrust upon the wizard. I just think that the main difference, though, is the wizard isn't tied to a particular type of magic, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just look at how, like, they acquire their magics. You know, like, one is through study. The other one could be, like, through an ancient bloodline, or when they cast magic, random stuff can happen. Like, you know, mm-hmm. That never happens for the wizards. You know, like, they cast a fireball, it's a fireball. You know, it doesn't all of a sudden wipe the world of all of its magic
right
by accident.
Yeah, because it definitely is more sciencey for the wizard. Mm-hmm. It's more calculated. It just reminds me of that scientist feel where you have the basis of whatever it is you're trying to do, and even if you are experimenting, you have a general idea of the outcome. Whereas a sorcerer is not that. A sorcerer is more, I don't even know a good comparison.
Well, I don't mean
that in like an explosion type way. I just mean like the magic, I feel like the magic that runs through the sorcerer is a more raw magic than that runs through the wizard.
Exactly. That's what I was getting ready to say. It's raw magic compared to, like Jace was saying, studied
refined
magic.
Refined magic.
Yeah. So it's like, well, I don't know, like I don't know. That would, yeah, never mind. I don't want to say
that.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, that's what it is. It's raw magic compared to studied magic. The wizard, you know, like Jay said, spent years and years studying. He continues to study. That's how he learns new spells. The sorcerer just, it comes to him. He doesn't really know how to explain it. It's like Jay said, it's either through his bloodline or, you know, wild magic. And you know, I gotta be honest, I love the wild magic stuff.
Oh, that's
just
so cool.
I love randomness when it comes to that magic, because it is so raw. Like, you don't have it studied down, you don't have it pat, so you're just gonna throw it out there and then see what happens next. I kind of like that randomness.
Good luck, boys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I hope I don't kill everybody.
And I think, so, and another big difference between the two is, you know, sorcerers are limited in the spells that they know,
mm-hmm.
whereas a wizard's only limited in the amount of time it spends studying spells and digging into stuff. You know, it can literally know an unlimited amount of magics depending on what's in its spell book.
Yeah. But I think, like, you know, to a point for the sorcerer, because I am going to argue a little bit for the sorcerer, because I like playing a sorcerer. So, but, you know, like, having that refined as a wizard, like, you're going to be very good at that spell that you're casting right there. It's going to work every single time. But, you know, a sorcerer can, he's got all these sorcery points. He's got all these meta magic things that he can do. And then, I mean, you can burn through 2-3 spells real quick. And then it's like, like Tristan said, it's explosive. It just goes. So, you know, you're just taking all that raw talent that you have, that charismatic talent, and just spewing it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you did a wonderful job of talking about the difference between the raw magic of the sorcerer and the refined magic of the wizard, because, you know, like, wizards later on, they have spell masteries where they can cast spells without, you know, without using their spell slots, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just kind of, or they just kind of cast them at will.
Yeah, whereas, they just know it.
Yeah, whereas sorcerers have that mechanic called sorcery points where they can actually empower spells,
mm-hmm.
you know, without the use of casting them from a higher spell slot. So without, you know, casting it from more of the mastery of the spell and digging into the knowledge of it, just kind of like just raw, I'm going to put power into this kind of a thing.
Yeah, I almost think of it like a wizard being like something in a, like a ballet dancer or something, like super refined, very in control, and then think of like a sorcerer as like a like an athlete of a different kind, like a football player or something.
Oh yeah, that was specific.
So I was saying like a football player, like a basketball player, just like going raw, just like going right at it.
Well,
You know, just balls to the wall, so to speak.
Yeah, and here's a way that, I mean, this could be implemented into role playing. I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
The wizard, I feel like a lot of times would not like the sorcerer because the sorcerer bends rules. The sorcerer makes spells happen and do effects that are not supposed to necessarily be.
Yeah, like that spell is not supposed to be able to do that, or like, yeah, like you're saying, you're bending the rule of that spell.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, just from even making a spell that's not supposed to twin off. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is that called?
Twin spell.
Yeah. Okay. So, like a firebolt or a ray of frost or something that's only supposed mm-hmm. to be a single target, all of a sudden splits off into two. Or being able to quickly, with the hasten spell mechanic for the sorcerer, being able to quickly hold the energy of the magic in your mind so quickly that you can go ahead, hit one spell, and then immediately do another as a bonus action. And I know that some cantrips do allocate for a bonus action, but you could spend a sorcery point in, or is it 2 sorcery points?
See, I think it might be 2. I don't remember.
It's for quickened, it's 2 sorcery points.
Yeah. But you can do that with any spell, and that is something that me and another guy were talking about today with Fireball, because you could do that with Fireball.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that the wizard, a wizard I would play, would be very disapproving of using magic in that way.
Yeah, it's awesome that we chose to talk about the Gygaxian article and the difference between the sorcerer and the wizard. Because you could even draw a parallel where, you know, like the wizards are your later editions where the rules are defined, and then your sorcerer is like the first edition where it's just fleeting and, you know, whatever happens, happens kind of a thing.
That's true.
Yeah, like kind of just let it go and kind of bend the rules and it not as strict with them.
Yeah.
So why would one play like a wizard over a sorcerer? Why would somebody play a sorcerer over a wizard? Why?
Okay, well, that's really cool, because Troy is going to tell us why he chooses a sorcerer like 10 times out of 10 over a wizard.
Yeah, so sick. Far. I definitely want to try a wizard. I didn't want to say that. That's definitely on my my bucket list. That's probably the next one. Either that or a bard. But anyway, for me, picking a sorcerer is, I mean, we kind of alluded to it already. I like role-playing that rawness. I like role-playing and being able to do magic the way it's not necessarily intended to. You know, the spells are definedly written in the spell book, right? But I like being able to bend those spellcaster rules.
Okay. I get it.
Yeah. So yeah, so it's for me, it's kind of mostly a role-playing thing. And I honestly, when I first started playing, that was the first spellcaster I played was a sorcerer. I was intimidated by how much the wizard had available to it. Like you guys said, the sorcerer definitely has a limited spell list that it can choose from compared to the wizard. So that's why I chose it, and that's where I felt most comfortable for a spellcaster. And then, like I said, it just kind of went to role-playing after that. I liked being able to play that, you know, either the meta magic or the draconic bloodline, because I think dragons are real cool anyway. Who doesn't?
Dragons. Cool dragons.
Yeah, who doesn't? You know, you can be from a dragon bloodline. Like, why not? Or you can start doing, and you don't know your magic very well, so, you know, you might end up hurting somebody when you throw some magic out there. Or something really cool might happen.
Yeah. Well, so the flop side of that, I've never played a sorcerer.
Mm-hmm.
I've always played a wizard. If I'm gonna go big, I'm gonna go for the top, is the way that I look at it. And I don't mean that like the wizard is innately better than the sorcerer, although I do tend to think so. It's just that there is a clear definition to me in the amount that is available, and maybe that's what kind of scares people off from playing the wizard mm-hmm. at first, because it is a crap ton more reading.
Yeah.
But the overall utility, hard. Well, yeah, reading real tough.
Real tough, hard.
The only thing that really separates, besides damage, which I think damage is comparable in 5th edition. I really do think the sorcerer and the wizard could probably be on par. The thing that separates them is the utility
mm-hmm.
of what it is they can do. Because I would put my sorcerer on the front lines as a warcaster in a large battle and keep my wizard back. Not because the wizard is more precious or anything, but just because there is more to their toolkit than yeah. the sorcerer. I just feel like all the sorcerers I've ever played with, a lot of the sorcerers that I see defined online, they are always geared towards damage.
Yeah, how much damage I can pump out at once. Yep.
Yeah. And I feel like that maybe even lends itself to the class flavor text, but a lot of times a sorcerer to me is kind of like the warlock, where they're seeking knowledge. It's just instead of having to go to a otherworldly source, like a patron, they have it right in their bloodline. So they're not making a mm-hmm. pact, but I feel like the warlock and the sorcerer are two sides of the same coin. Now, the reason I didn't want to compare those two classes is because I don't think that there would be as much of an in-depth conversation versus a wizard. I just feel like the warlock and the sorcerer are too similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, they can be very similar. I think the one of the biggest things that stands out to me in the differences, other than the points that I brought up, is what the character can kind of be. So you can have a wizard that focuses on different schools of magic, you know, whether it's evocation or abjuration, you know, whatever. You can have them focus on different magics, but that's what they're focusing on, is magic. Whereas if you do a sorcerer, you can have a sorcerer that maybe is more about you know, fighting in battle, you know, like a spell blade, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, like if you go along with the what is it called? The stone sorcery one, you can have one that's maybe a little bit more about getting in battle and protecting his allies, and he uses magic to, you know, protect people in the front of battle. Or If you want to play an edgelord, you can do the shadow magic one, you know, where it's all about, I'm not a necromancer, but I'm dark and I'm dark, you know. So I feel like you can branch out so much further with a sorcerer outside of just the, you know, like I'm a spellcaster, than you necessarily could with a wizard.
Yeah. And again, I think that goes with the bending of the rules of magic as the wizards know it. Because the wizards, in effect, are the academics of the fantasy world.
Yeah, well put.
And the sorcerers are just the natural talent. So a lot of times a wizard works harder than a sorcerer does, mm-hmm. just because of the differences there.
Yeah. It's why, you know, he's got things that lets magic do its max amount of damage, why he can do things without expending spell slots, you know, why he is just good. He can use magic to its maximum potential is because he's the one that studies it, whereas, you know, we've said it a million times so far, but the sorcerer is just raw, unedited power. It just happens. Dragons.
Live
by blood.
Dragons. All the things. So, again, though, I mean, there's not a... I don't think that there's a clean cut of this class is better than this class, because I think in terms of what a player is going to look at most of the time is going to be... Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to keep offense in mind the whole time you're making a character. I've never made a character and not at least thought about that, even if I'm making a goofy character or even like a character who's only focused on utility. You still have to have some sort of numbers in your kit.
Yeah. You can't just sit there and let everybody else, you know, shoot things down while you're sitting there and waiting to buff somebody or,
right,
you know, debuff somebody. But
I mean, it's just there's not a clean one up on the other one. So they're both good. And they both have their niche. To me, like I'm saying, the sorcerer is definitely more of the damage dealer, more times than not, than a wizard would be. Although it could be opposite, you know. These are not like set in stone things. I've said in previous episodes, we're not like column writers. We are not game analysts. We're just nerds who like to play Dungeons and Dragons.
That's our next shirt.
Nerds who like to play Dungeons and Dragons. It's going to be great. It's going to be a good shirt.
And I think I look at it more as the thematic of your character. Like, do you want somebody that is just a magic intellectual kind of guy that studies a particular strain of magic? Then, you know, go for that. You know, like, but if you want a character that can be more of an open slate, then you play a sorcerer, where you can turn a sorcerer into literally anything, whereas a wizard, again, pigeonholes you into being a wizard.
Yep.
Harry.
You're a wizard, Harry. It's so fun to talk about, and, you know, we could continue to beat the same horse, but I think we've covered it.
Yeah, I'm not playing a sorcerer.
Okay. I failed in my mission. That's all right, though.
Well, sometimes,
dude, for being a charisma-based class, you suck at persuasion. Got him.
Well, I didn't say that I'm the charisma-based. My character is.
I'm just throwing shade, dude. Like your shadow magics.
All right. That's how it is.
Dire wolf.
Well. All right. Before the boys go at it and kill each other, we're going to go ahead and sign off. Remember, Dragon's Trove goes live every Saturday at 12 Central Standard Time. You can follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @DragonsTrove. Follow us anywhere you get podcasts. Make sure you subscribe. And please leave feedback. We have, this will be the 7th episode, and we constantly want to do better. So let us know the things you like. Let us know the things you do not like, so that we can either improve on the things that are not well-liked and continue to improve on the things that are liked. So
I'm metaphorically dying for comments to read.
He wants the comments. He's like, please, give me your words.
about dragons' droves.
It's really
excellent.
Creepy.
Yeah, this is getting real creepy.
All right. Anyway, Jace, go ahead and send us off with one of your famous goodbyes.
Bye.